بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The great companion Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, he narrates a hadith which has been collected in Sunan ibn Majah. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. The seeking of knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim. However, what's the meaning of this hadith? And does it refer to secular knowledge, shar'i knowledge? What type of knowledge does this refer to? And the first thing regarding this hadith is that this hadith shows that the basis of this religion is al-ilm, is knowledge and seeking knowledge. That this religion is based upon a Muslim seeking knowledge and being intelligent and wise and having basira, having insight and having the manners of the people of knowledge and knowledge itself. And this doesn't mean that a Muslim shouldn't be simple, a Muslim shouldn't be humble and modest, but it means in the way that we speak and in the way that we act and interact with others, and also our ambitions and our outlook on life is based upon knowledge and intelligence and doing things to the best of our ability. The first word which was revealed in the Quran, the first order, the command which Allah gave the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Iqra, read, recite. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Recite and read in the name of your Lord who has created you. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. The one who created mankind from a clinging substance. So this was the first word which was revealed and the first order which came in the Quran. Iqra, read or recite. Bismika alladhi, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. In the name of your Lord who has created you. And Islam, it respects every type of knowledge. Every type of knowledge which is beneficial. And as long as your intention is correct in seeking and studying this knowledge, then this is something good and praiseworthy in al-Islam. So for example, a student, a Muslim student wants to excel in mathematics or science or any language. And his intention is that I want to benefit myself. I want to benefit my Muslim brothers and sisters. I want to please my parents. I want to seek this knowledge, even if it's secular, in order for me to earn a rizq, a career or provisions which are halal, for me not to be poor, in order for me to earn money and donate it in charity, or give it towards al-Islam, and be in the service of al-Islam and the Muslims. So, even secular knowledge, as long as it is beneficial, and the intention is correct, your intention is correct when you're studying, then even this there is reward and it is something which is good in al-Islam. However, this hadith of Anas ibn Malik, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every single Muslim, the intent behind this knowledge is not the knowledge that only benefits you in the worldly life, but the type of knowledge which benefits you in this life and also in the hereafter, i.e. knowledge regarding your religion, regarding al-Islam. And this obligatory knowledge upon every single Muslim, male or female, old or young, is enough knowledge such that you know who your Lord is and who your Prophet is and what is the basic message of al-Islam, so that you know the truth of the Prophethood and the truth of the Quran. You have to have enough knowledge in order for you to go out and give da'wah to the non-Muslims. in order for you to repel the doubts of the people who speak against Al-Islam. You have to have enough knowledge so that you know the basic aqidah of a Muslim. You know what is At-Tawheed, what does it mean? And what is Ash-Shirk? And what are those actions which could fall under Ash-Shirk? You need to know who your Lord is. What are His names? What are His descriptions and characteristics and attributes? And what are the actions that He does? Every single one of us also needs to know about the hereafter and about Jannah and the delight and the reward which Allah has promised the believers, and know about Jahannam and the punishment which Allah has promised for those people who don't practice the religion of Islam. You have to also know the various rulings of fiqh, meaning you have to know about as-salah, about the prayer, how to pray, what are the conditions of the prayer, what are those things which invalidate and break your prayer, and how do you fast and make wudu and perform hajj and give zakah and so on and so forth. So this is the absolute minimum that every single Muslim should know. This is the absolute minimum that is an obligation upon a parent or a guardian to teach their children. That we know Islam at least to this extent. Anything more than this is better and more rewarding, but it is voluntary. So it's not permitted for a Muslim to be a Muslim just by name. And you know nothing about your Lord, know nothing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about his message. A person comes to you, you don't know what to say about Islam, and the only Islam that you have is your name. So this is the minimum amount that every single Muslim has to know. Imagine if we have a Muslim whose name is Muhammad, and a non-Muslim comes to him and says to him, tell me about your religion, tell me about Al-Islam. What would you say? If somebody says, tell me about these prayers that you're praying every day, what are they? Why do you pray them? How do you pray them? If a person said, tell me about that man that you believe in who has the same name as your name, Muhammad, what do you know about him? So you have to be able to answer at least these questions. Anytime a person, a non-Muslim, could approach you, or even a Muslim who doesn't know much, approaches you and says, brother or sister, can you teach me about or how to recite the Quran? Can you teach me how to pray, how to make wudu? And if we don't know these basic or this basic level of Islam, then we haven't fulfilled our duty. And we're only being Muslims by name. And also, today, and especially today, knowledge is even more important. Why? Because the doubts that people have against Islam, how Islam is being warred against, the things that are being said against the correct aqidah, the doubts that are there, the enemies of Islam who are trying their hardest to mock and destroy Islam. All of this requires for a Muslim to have knowledge about his or her religion. Who is going to defend Islam? If it isn't us who seek knowledge about this religion, who is going to refute the doubts? Who is going to spread Al-Islam and give da'wah to the non-Muslims? So this is the obligation upon every single person, that every one of us is able to at least defend his religion and defend his prophet when he is mocked, and defend the pillars and the rulings of Al-Islam. And the obligation is upon, no doubt, the young people and also the parents. That we have to cultivate our children that they know about Al-Islam. And not only the youngsters, but also the elders. Because if a child sees his or her parent pushing them towards the lesson or the circle in the masjid, however they themselves don't learn, don't read, don't write, then this is going to lead the child to stay away from Al-Islam or become weakened in Al-Islam. And just as we are pushing our children towards secular studies, and there's nothing wrong with this, then we have to keep this balanced with learning about Al-Islam. the importance of knowledge and the virtue of knowledge, the reward of knowledge, is mentioned in many ayat in the Quran and many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah mentioned the status of knowledge and the people of knowledge. And He mentioned the status and the rank of the scholars, those who go out and seek knowledge and teach the people. He said, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ درجات. Allah raises those people amongst you who have iman, and those people amongst you who have knowledge, درجات, many different ranks. The higher a person's iman, the higher a person's knowledge of Islam, the higher his rank is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not order His Prophet to ask for an increase in anything except in knowledge. قُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Say, O Muhammad, O my Lord, increase me in my knowledge. Nothing else did Allah encourage the Prophet to supplicate in order to increase except in knowledge. رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. O my Lord, increase me in my knowledge. So consider this ayah. Think about this ayah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered the most knowledgeable person, who is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to ask for an increase in knowledge. So then how about the rest of us who are ignorant? Have you ever asked your Lord and made this dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, O my Lord, increase me in my knowledge? If the most knowledgeable person, and he's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was ordered to ask for an increase in knowledge, then surely all of us who are much lower than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are ordered with this as well. So the order for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is also an order for us. And Allah forbids in the Quran for a person to treat a person of knowledge in the same manner that he treats a person who does not have knowledge. It's not permitted for a person to equate between a scholar and a jahil. Allah said, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are those people who know equal to those people who do not know? Meaning that those people who know, the ulama, the tulab al-ilm, those who go out and seek knowledge, they're not equal to the common people or the ignorant people who haven't sought knowledge. And Allah mentioned the scholars, the people of knowledge, along with Himself and the angels. And he mentioned Himself and the angels and the scholars, the people of knowledge, when it comes to teaching At-Tawheed or bearing witness upon At-Tawheed. He said, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That Allah, He bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Him. وَالْمَلَائِكَ. And also the angels bear witness. وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ. And also the people of knowledge. So look, in this ayah, Allah mentions Himself and the angels and the scholars when it comes to bearing witness upon At-Tawheed. So look at the great virtue of those people who seek knowledge. That they are mentioned in the same ayah with Allah Himself and the angels, and then the scholars come after. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a hadith narrated by Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the sign or an indicator of a person's goodness is that Allah gives him knowledge of the religion. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah wants good for, He gives him understanding and knowledge of the religion. This basic level of knowledge is for those people who Allah wants goodness for. The scholars mention that the meaning of this hadith also is that the person who Allah does not want goodness for, then he isn't given any understanding of the religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in a hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik in Musnad Imam Ahmad, and there is some weakness in this hadith. He said, إِنَّ مَثَلُ الْعُلَمَاءِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That the example of the scholars upon the earth, كَالنُّجُومِ فِي السَّمَاءِ, is like the stars in the sky. يُهْتَدَى بِهَا فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. That a people or people seek guidance through the stars in the darkness of, in the darkness, whether it's on land or whether it's in the sea. So this is the example of a scholar and the virtue of a scholar, that they are like the stars of this ummah. That people can use these scholars for guidance in order for them to know the way when it is dark and when there's a lot of misguidance. فَإِذَا طَمَسَتِ النُّجُومِ. So when the stars fade away, أَوْشَكَ أَن تَضِلَّ الْهُدَاتِ, then the people who are seeking this guidance, they'll become lost. Why? Because the light of the stars isn't there. The light and the knowledge of the scholars isn't there. And also, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and it's a lengthy hadith which contains many benefits about seeking knowledge and the virtue of those people who seek knowledge, the reward of seeking knowledge. He said, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. Whoever treads a path in order to seek knowledge, سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, then Allah makes the path to Jannah easy for him. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتِهَا رِضًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. And the angels, they lower their wings, being pleased with the person who is seeking knowledge. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And the scholar, those in the skies and the heavens, i.e. the angels, and the people upon the earth. وَالْحَيْتَانَ فِي جَوْفِ الْمَاءِ. And even fish in the depths of the ocean, they seek forgiveness for the person who goes out to seek knowledge. وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ. And indeed, the reward or the virtue of the scholar, of the person of knowledge, over a worshipper, كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ, is like the virtue of the full bright moon over the rest of the stars. And then he said, وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Indeed, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. فَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهْمًا. Because the prophets, they didn't leave behind gold coins and silver coins. إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. But rather they left behind knowledge. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. So whoever takes this knowledge, whoever inherits this knowledge from the prophets, أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ, then he has gained the greatest thing. So contemplate this hadith. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. Whoever treads a path in order to seek knowledge, whoever learns about Islam, tries his best to learn about Islam, سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, then Allah makes his path to paradise easy for him. This hadith shows that seeking knowledge is a path towards Jannah, towards paradise. And for this reason, some of the Salaf would say that the talib al-ilm, the person who is a student of knowledge, and he goes out in order to seek knowledge, if he dies upon this path, then he dies the death of a shaheed. Some of the Salaf would say this. Why? Because a shaheed, a martyr, is a person who makes jihad, لِتَكُونَ كَلِمَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا, who fights jihad in the way of Allah in order for the law and the word and the command of Allah to be the highest, to gain authority. And the person who goes out in order to seek knowledge goes out with the same objective, in order for the word and the command of Allah to be the highest. This hadith shows the virtue of a person who seeks knowledge. He leaves his home, he leaves his family, he leaves his career. For what? In order to seek the pleasure of his Lord and to learn about his religion. إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتِهَا رِضًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. Indeed, the angels, they lower their wings out of pleasure for a person who is seeking knowledge. This shows that even the angels are humbled in front of a student of knowledge. Even angels have humility in front of the people of knowledge. Because this person is teaching the people what the angels convey. The tulab al-ilm and the ulama, the people of knowledge, those who learn about Islam and teach the people, they are teaching the people what Jibreel alayhi salam used to come with to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also, one of the greatest scholars and the greatest muhaddithin of our time, who is still alive, living in Al-Madinah, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, and every person should know about him. He mentioned that from the meaning of this hadith is that the angels, they come over the sittings of knowledge where people are gathering for knowledge, and they lower their wings and they shade the people who are seeking knowledge. So imagine now, perhaps by the permission of Allah, there are angels who are above us, and because every single one of us has come in order to seek knowledge, then they lower their wings out of pleasure and humbleness for those who are here in this masjid. So this virtue is only for those people who go out in order to seek knowledge. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Wa innal alima la yastaghfiru lahu ahlu as-sama'i wal ard." That the scholar, the person who tries to seek knowledge, then the inhabitants of the heavens and the inhabitants of the earth, wal huta fi jawfil ma, and even the fish in the depths of the sea, they seek forgiveness for the alim, the scholar. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha," indeed Allah, "wal malaika," and the angels, "wa ahlus sama," and the inhabitants of the skies, "wa ahlul ard," and the inhabitants of the earth, "hatta namlata fi juhriha," even the ant in its hole, even the ant in its hole, "wal huta fi jawfil ma," and even the fish at the depths of the sea, "yusalluna li muallimin nas khayra," they make dua, they supplicate for the person who teaches goodness to the people. Imagine a person who occupies himself with teaching goodness to the people, the scholar who knows about Islam and is firm in al-Islam, then Allah mentions and praises this person, the angels supplicate for him, the inhabitants of the skies, the birds supplicate for him, the people upon the earth supplicate for him, even the ant in the hole supplicates for this person, and even the fish in the sea, they supplicate for this person. Why? Because he is مُعَلِّمَ النَّاسِ خَيْرًا, because he teaches the people goodness. So the scholar, every single person, in fact every single thing is in need of the scholar and benefits from the scholar. Even animals, even cattle, even a cow. How? Who taught us and who conveyed to us the way in which we should sacrifice an animal? And the least painful way for an animal to be slaughtered. It was the ulama, the scholars who conveyed the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So had it not been for the ulama, then we would be punishing the cattle and slaughtering them in a wrong way. Who conveyed to us the knowledge of what is halal and what is haram, and which animal is allowed for us to eat and which animal is not allowed for us to eat? It is the scholars. So if it wasn't for the alim, the scholar, coming and teaching us halal and haram, then we would be eating those animals which Allah did not create for us to be eaten, or for us to eat. We would be oppressing those animals. Who is it that has taught us, or who has taught us, how to interact with people, with Muslims, with non-Muslims, with animals, even with the environment? Who is it, for example, that taught us that in jihad, it is not permitted for us to chop down trees or gardens? It is the ulama. And this shows that those juhal, those ignorant people who are destroying people's properties without any right in the name of Islam, that they have no knowledge. And that's why you will see that these people, all of these groups that you're hearing now in the various countries, they never have scholars amongst them. They won't be able to name a single recognized scholar before they came about who has proved what they're saying. Because the scholars, they came and they told us that the Prophet ﷺ said that the old man is not to be killed in jihad, and the woman is not to be killed in jihad, and even the trees are not harmed in jihad, and even the cattle of a person are not harmed or killed in jihad fi sabilillah. So this shows that every single thing is in need of a scholar. You're in need of a scholar when you have a child. You're in need of a scholar when you get married. You're in need of a scholar when you die. In every stage of your life, a person is in need of the scholars. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعُلَمَاءِ وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَالْقَمَرِ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْبَدْرِ That the virtue of a scholar to a person who worships Allah, a person who is known for worshipping Allah, is like the full moon. Today is one of the days that we're approaching the full moon. So if you go outside today and you see the full moon in its complete light, you see it in a short while, and the light that the full moon gives out, and how much more illuminated it is over the rest of the stars. And this is because the person who worships, he benefits himself. He benefits himself through worship. There's brothers who are talking, and it's not correct to talk about this knowledge going on. The scholar is like the moon. It illuminates the skies. People take guidance from it. And its light is much, much more than the rest of the stars. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاء وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاء, that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Why? Because our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he lived poor and he died poor. He didn't have any possessions. He didn't leave anything behind. No gold coin, no silver coins, nothing. The only thing he left behind was the revelation which he came with, the knowledge which Allah taught him. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظِّ الْوَافِرِ. So whoever takes this inheritance from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is knowledge, then he is the one who has achieved the greatest thing. So these ayat and these hadith and many other ayat and hadith, they show us the great reward for seeking knowledge. Nobody else has such a reward and so many ayat and hadith been mentioned, except regarding the person of knowledge. Why? Because not only does he benefit himself, he then benefits others. And not only does he benefit the Muslims, he even benefits the non-Muslims through his da'wah. And not only does he benefit people, he even benefits animals and the environment. And for this reason, the angels and the people and the fish in the sea and the lizard in its hole and the bird in the sky, all of them, they seek forgiveness for the person of knowledge. And this knowledge which has come to us, these books which we have no value for, this knowledge, this hadith which have been collected that we don't know its value, this wasn't something which came to us 1435 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except through scholars striving and traveling and leaving their family, staying awake at night, being poor, in order to collect the hadith and narrate them and convey the rulings of Islam for the generations who would come afterwards. And there's many stories, many examples of the great imams of the Salaf and how they used to seek knowledge. For example, it's narrated regarding Abu Ja'far ibn Ahmad al-Qusari, and he died in 321 years after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَكَانَ رُبَّمَا بَاعَ بَعْضَ ثِيَابِهِ, that sometimes or often he would sell his clothes, لِيَشْتَرِي بِثَمَنِهَا الْكُتُبُ وَالْأَوْرَاقِ, in order to buy some books and some paper. Imagine a scholar 1100 years before us, had to sell his clothes in order to buy some books or in order to buy some paper in order for knowledge to reach us in this time today. So these ahadith in Sahih Bukhari, for example, there wasn't computers at that time. People weren't rich at that time. They should sell their clothes in order to narrate and collect these ahadith. Hisham ibn Ammar al-Dhufari. And he died in 240 years of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ba'a abi baytan lahu bi 20 dirhaman. That my father, he sold a house that he had for 20 dirhams. فَجَهَّزَنِي لِطَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْحَجِ. In order to prepare me for seeking knowledge and for Hajj. Sold his house in order that his child could have money to seek knowledge and to perform Hajj. So that this knowledge could be conveyed to us in our time today. And other scholars who'd stay awake at night. Al-Hafidh, Al-Mundhari. And he is a scholar who had many books. In his lifetime, he wrote over 30 books. And when we say 30 books, I don't mean small books of 100 pages, but each book might have 5 or 10 volumes or even more. So now multiply this by 30. And a person living next to him, Abu Ishaq, he says, جَاوَرْتُ الْحَافِذَ الْمُنْذِرِ ثِنْتَيْ عَشَرَ سَنَةً. He said, I was a neighbor to Al-Hafidh Al-Mundhari rahimullah for 12 years. Whenever I walk at any night during these 12 years, sa'at min sa'at al-layl, in any hour of the night, except that I would see the lamp of the Hafidh glowing. Why? Because he was reading and studying even throughout the night. حَتَّى فِي حَالِ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْكُتُبِ مَعَهُ وَالْكُتُبِ مَعَهُ. Even while he was eating and drinking, his books would be with him in order for this knowledge to be conveyed to us. One of the scholars of Andalus, Al-Imam Baqi ibn Mukhallad, he traveled from Andalus all the way to Baghdad so he could seek knowledge from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahumullah ajma'in. And he did this by foot. Andalus is South Spain. Walked from South Spain all the way to Baghdad in order for this knowledge to be conveyed to us in our time today. And another great scholar, Al-Hafidh ibn Mundah, and he was from, it was said, he's Imam min A'immat al-Hadith. He's an Imam from the great Imams of Hadith. And he wrote a book, 2 volumes, called Kitab al-Tawheed. It's mentioned regarding him that he left his house when he was 20 years old in order to go out seek knowledge. And then he returned back to his country when he was 65 years old. Meaning 45 years of his life he spent seeking knowledge. And he narrated from over 1700 ulama. And when he came back and he was 65 years old, then he married. Meaning for 65 years of his life, he was not married. And then he sat and he narrated to the people the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he gained in 45 years. And even some of the companions, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, some of the companions would go out and seek knowledge. So the famous companion of Medina, Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he says, بَلَغَنِي حَدِيثٌ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam لَمْ أَسْمَعُ. That I was informed of a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I had not heard. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. فَابْتَعْتُ بَعِيرًا. So I bought a camel. فَشَدَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ رَحْلِي. And then I placed my provisions on this camel. وَسِرْتُ شَهْرًا حَتَّى قَدِمْتُ الشَّام. And then I traveled for a month until I reached Al-Sham, the area of Syria. فَأَتَيْتُ عَبْدُ ibn Unais. So I came to Abdullah ibn Unais. فَقُلْتُ لِلْبَوَّابِ. So I said to the guard at the door of Abdullah ibn Unais, I said to him, قُلْ لِعَبْدُ ibn Unais, جَاءَهُ Jabir. That go to Abdullah ibn Unais and say to him that Jabir has come. So the guard went to Abdullah ibn Unais. And he said to him, there is a man outside called Jabir, And he said, he has come. So Abdullah ibn Unais sent him back. He said, Jabir ibn Abdullah, is it Jabir ibn Abdullah, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So the man came back to Jabir. And he said, Anta Jabir ibn Abdullah, you are Jabir ibn Abdullah? And he said, yes. So he went back to him and he informed him. Faqama Abdullah ibn Unais. So Abdullah ibn Unais, he got up from his house. فَطَأْطَأَ ثَوْبَهُ. And he put his thawb on, he dusted his thawb. فَخَرَجَ. And then he came out. فَاعْتَنَقَنِي وَاعْتَنَقْتُهُ. And then he hugged me and I hugged him. فَقُلْتُ. And then I, Jabir, said to him, حَدِيثًا بَلَغَنِي عَنْكَ لَمْ أَسْمَعُهُ. It has been conveyed to me that you have a hadith which I have not heard. فَخَشِيتُ أَن تَمُوتَ أَوْ أَن أَمُوتَ قَبْلَ أَنْ أَسْمَعُهُ. So I fear that you might die, or I might die before I hear this hadith from you. And Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu said, سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, يحشر الله الناس يوم القيامة, that the people will be resurrected on the day of resurrection, عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا بُهْمًا. And they will be naked and uncircumcised, and they will have nothing with them. So for this single hadith, in order for it to be conveyed to us, the great companion Jabir ibn Abdullah, he left his home for a month, and he traveled for a month in order to hear this one hadith and then narrate it to the others. And for this reason, we don't allow people to insult the companions of the Prophet. We don't allow people like the Rawafid and the Shia to insult the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the pure wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these were the companions who traveled and made jihad and learned from the Prophet in order for this knowledge and these hadith to reach us in our time. So the point behind all of this is the importance of seeking knowledge and the obligation of seeking knowledge. It is knowledge which keeps a person firm upon the religion in the face of this battle and this war that we are facing. And all of these doubts that are being spread about Islam. Only through knowledge will a person remain firm. Through knowledge, a person can give da'wah to others. Through knowledge, not only are you a benefit to yourself, but to other people, but all of the creation. In fact, everybody is in need of a scholar. And knowledge is only one of the three things which remain behind after you die and the reward carries on. إِذَا مَاتَ الْعَبْدُ إِنْقَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا ثَلَاثٌ. Whenever a person dies, all of his actions cease except three things. وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ. A righteous child who makes dua for him. How will your child be righteous if he knows nothing about Al-Islam? So it goes back to knowledge. وَصَدَقَةً جَارِيَةً. And a continuous charity. And what encourages you to give charity if you don't have any knowledge about it? It goes back to knowledge. وَالْعِلْمُ يُنْتَفَعَ بِهِ. And knowledge that you leave behind that people benefit from. So each one of these three things that will benefit you in the hereafter in your grave, all of it goes back to knowledge. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us knowledge which is beneficial and actions which are righteous. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan salihan wa rizqan tayyiba. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-ikhlasa fi kulli qawlin wa amal. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan wa rizqna itiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batilan wa rizqna ijtinaba. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.